Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. The message for this sermon can be reduced to one sentence. Aren't you lucky? Jesus comes to bring us light, to open our eyes that we might see, and we must choose whether to do so or not. To see or not to see, that is the question. This choice to see is in the very first sentence of this gospel. Jesus chooses to see the blind man on the side of the road. This is remarkable and an important point, because we often choose to pass by homeless people without seeing them. We often choose to not look at the person holding a sign asking for money at the end of the freeway off-ramp. We often choose to pretend we didn't see or hear the person holding the clipboard outside of Vons or Costco or Walmart asking us just for a few minutes to talk to us about a petition. At some point or another, I have walked by all of them. I didn't want to see and meet their eyes or let them see into mine. To see or not to see, that is the question. And if we ignore and walk on, we have made a choice. We continue the darkness. But Jesus saw the blind man and chose to stop. That was the first step toward the man's healing, the first step in a process of conversion. So this is a story about healing and conversion for the blind man, yet not for the Pharisees, who chose not to see and not to believe. This is a story from darkness to light, about before and after, then and now, always and then suddenly. 1 minute we see something one way, and the next minute we see it differently. So this man who had been blind from birth had probably become part of the background for most people, not really noticed anymore or seen at all. For us, today is a good day to think about who has become part of the background in our lives. Who do we take for granted and don't see anymore? To see or not to see is the question. Jesus saw the blind man and stopped. The encounter became public as an inquisition developed. Who sinned? Jesus answers, the man's suffering was not caused by sin. But what is sin, you may ask? Well, in our Book of Common Prayer on page 848 of our catechism, yes, we have one, we have a definition for sin as the seeking of our own will instead of the will of God, thus distorting our relationship with God, with other people, and with all creation. St. Augustine defines sin as a hardened heart, a loss of love for God, a disposition of the heart to depart from God because of inordinate self-love. So from Augustine's definition, we often say sin is missing the mark, missing the bullseye with God, love as our center. Thus, when we sin, we really can hurt those closest to us and ourselves as well, each time we fail to respond with love. Understanding the simple word sin may help us in our Lenten journey, since Lent is meant to be a time to turn around and turn back to God, to reflect on where we have failed to love. So Jesus denied the man's suffering was caused by sin. But the blind man's situation provided an opportunity for Jesus to heal, thereby revealing God's works. God's power can be revealed in adversity. And our faithfulness in adversity can be a compelling witness for others. To see or not to see where God is at work, that is the question also. The man who was given sight by Jesus was questioned again and again and again, first by his own neighbors and then three more times by the Pharisees. They asked him over and over, "What happened? What did you do? What did he do? How do you explain your new self, your new sight?" His answer was simple. "I was blind, but now I see." In the moment of healing, there was a moment of profound change, from darkness to light, from always and then suddenly. One neurologist stated that one must die as a blind person to be born again as a seeing person, to die to the only dark world one has ever known into a world of light. But when Jesus healed this man's eyes, he also gave him the mental ability to understand what he was seeing. So that was the big step from healing to conversion. The blind man sees, but the Pharisees refused to see the truth. The Pharisees got stuck. They could not see beyond their questions. They closed their eyes and thought they were seeing everything there was to see. So when Jesus came on the scene, they took a look at the wonderful thing he had just done. But because he had healed on the Sabbath, they labeled him a lawbreaker and dismissed any possibility that he might be who he seemed to be, sent from God. It is so easy to see and yet not see. To see or not to see continues to be our question. Here is an example. Years and years and years ago, before personal computers changed our lives, the folks at Xerox decided to establish a research center in Palo Alto, California. They called it the Palo Alto Research Center, PARC, PARC for short. They wanted the PARC researchers to look into the future and create products that would lead Xerox into the next decade and the next century. And it worked. The people of PARC invented some wonderful things. In 1977, 4 years before IBM came out with their personal computer, PARC conducted a Futures Day where they showed off their inventions to the Xerox executives. Guess what they invented? They had invented the personal computer, and they called it Alto. They had invented the mouse, You could use the mouse to draw pictures on your computer. And they came up with other ideas. Networked printers, electronic file servers, the ability to send files around the world electronically. But the Xerox executives didn't care much for what they were seeing. They were copier people. They had a great business going. What did they really know about computers? Who would buy one of those things anyway? And why would they want to make it possible for their employees to draw pictures on a computer screen with something called a mouse? A mouse, for goodness sakes. Why would you call it a mouse? Mice are pests. If you have mice, you call an exterminator. And so they left the computer and the mouse and all the other inventions on the table. A year or two later, a couple of kids in San Jose, not far from Palo Alto, working out of their garage, picked those ideas off the table and put them to work. They called their computer the Apple. They did not have much money, but they had their eyes wide open, and they had a vision. And the personal computer industry was born. And Xerox kept on making copiers, and facing increasing competition, soon they were struggling and watching the future go by. They had seen the future, but had left it on the table. Sometimes the really smart people are the last to see. That is how it was with the Xerox executives. That is also how it was with the Pharisees. Now, we can do as the Pharisees did. We can decide that we know all that we need to know. We can stay in our comfort zone and continue to live as we have always lived. We can close our eyes and pretend not to see. But the invitation today is to open our eyes and see the Jesus in front of us. The invitation is to recognize where there is darkness, bring light. The invitation is to accept a change of heart. When the new birth, the new insight, the new vision, the new grace, the new faith comes. The invitation is to notice when we are blind to the truth, allow healing. Let the moment of conversion simply be a turning point, rather than needing to explain or defend. That man born blind could not describe his moment of conversion to anyone's satisfaction, as we heard. But he could tell the difference it made in his life. And so he said, "All I know is that I was blind and now I see." And his final answer to Jesus was simple, "Lord, I believe." Believe is the fourth word in this fourth Sunday of Lent. So let us keep our eyes open. Have a vision. Take a step in faith and say, "I believe." Jesus comes to bring us light, to open our eyes that we might see. And we must choose whether to do so or not. The choice is really ours. Amen.